Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. Don't forget, you got to get your entries in the Delana Sweet Sweet Tears Equal Your Material Gain Contest by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. You send those as an MP3. I don't know, send them as like a WMV file or something. Send those to Rick at RickEmerson.com. We got about 15 entries, 16, I think. Right now, so you piece those together, send them on in. We go play those tomorrow. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let us now welcome to the... Wait, let me find the appropriate... we'll just go for it. Thank you. The Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger. It's pretty unnerving. Pitzenbarger for the Portland Tribune. How are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well. I guess that's better than the one big fiesta... Or I don't know.
I got that one right here. We've already used it today. We used that
before. Oh, I'm sorry.
How about this email? Rick, as if Sarah wasn't paranoid enough, the Fremont Bridge, that one with the two big flags atop it, it's built out of a prototype metal that hasn't been used anywhere since. The engineer who designed the Fremont Bridge ran his own test, deduced that the metal, ergo the bridge, would fail someday with no warning. That's right, the man who designed the Fremont Bridge believes that it will collapse without warning sometime someday in the future. He himself has said that he will not ever drive across it. Also, by the way, this is from a city employee, by the way. Also, on the second level on the east side while entering the I-5 North exit, you can see where the construction crew riveted a steel plate into the bridge to keep it from falling apart. Enjoy. 503-733-2970. How's life at the Portland Tribune? How are you? How are things, Dennis?
Life is good. They wrote a nice little backup story today in the Tuesday edition of the Portland Tribune. Something to the effect of where the possible path of your next subject, which will obviously be Storm and Rockstar right. Supernova.
Here's the best thing about the Portland Tribune. The best thing about the Portland Tribune is how they interviewed us for a story, I don't know, like 2.5 months ago that they've yet to run.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's okay. I'm not holding a grudge about it. It's not like I'm looking at the calendar every day wondering, this is her, we'll try to find a time when there's a light news week. As if, you know, I'm just saying, don't care. I mean,
as a P1 listener banging the gong drum up in the editor's office, believe me, they don't even talk to me.
I'm just making an observation. Hey, Scotty's running the Fremont Bridge is also placed on a bed of sand. All right, thank you. Patrick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, Patrick.
How's it going?
Up? Hey, what do you got, brother?
Oh, I speak a little fluent squirrel. You guys out there were wondering what the squirrel chatter is all about.
All right.
Well, I'm going to give it a whirl here.
That's Christ. Exactly what
Jesus
it sounds like.
God damn. Is that you? Did you make that noise with your mouth?
Oh, yeah.
Do it again.
Yes, it is. That is it's part warning and it's part territorial.
Do it again. Do it again.
Are you sure that you're not really a dolphin, sir?
Oh, no, I do a good dolphin. I'm a surfer, and I always sit out in the lineup.
Dad's trapped in a well. Okay. That's just
weird.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it sounds like. And imagine that coming out of a little furry thing with rabies, like staring at you.
With rabies and tiny little black soulless eyes and devil claws.
I speak fluent squirrel, but they also creep me out pretty much same as everybody else.
How have you learned this? How have you deduced this?
Oh, I think it was science class, sixth grade.
That's just weird. That's what that is. All right.
Yeah, the squirrels may rule the trees, but I own a chainsaw.
That's the spirit. All right, yes. Thank you, sir.
Good Lord.
All right, there you go.
I own sugar gliders. They bark. They do not make sounds like that. How can you be afraid of a small pound-and-a-half animal?
You know what? I got to tell you, I'm the first one to say that, look, he's not a pound and a half. But my dog, who was only 16 pounds or something at the time, when he, like, went crazy the first time, the first month we had him, and he went all nutty that one day, it was terrifying. It really, and people can laugh all the, you know, look at you, son of a bitch, you can laugh all you want. But here's the thing. I believe that that is beyond our control. And I mean, why are people afraid of spiders? Or say spiders 1/1,000,000,000th your size. It's not going to do anything to you. It's evolutionary. Humans are designed to be afraid of aggressive animals. That's just true. It's just a fact. Because like 10 billion years ago, you know, you had to be afraid of that stuff because you didn't have an immune system. You didn't have whatever, man, it'd kill you. Squirrel kill you dead, brother.
I just... 1720. The squirrel deaths are down to 2 a day.
All right. Okay.
No. How can you? I mean, it's a little furry animal. It's just like, you know, my grandfather used to have cattle. used to walk into the cattle field. You'd look at this animal that was 100 times your size, a little kid. You'd walk up to it. It was more afraid of you than anything.
Well, that's different. There are no wild cows.
Yeah, well, and cows aren't aggressive because squirrels are aggressive.
You don't really see...
Squirrels, let's pinpoint that little phrase. Squirrels are aggressive. Squirrels are not aggressive.
They're territorial.
Well, they're territorial, but I don't. I mean,
and if you get too close to them, then I'll attack you.
Were you climbing in a particular squirrel's tree?
I wonder if anybody has ever been attacked.
Climbing in a tree.
Yeah, she was in the shelling room.
No, I walked over to get my dog who had climbed. Well, this has happened many times to get my dog who's climbed to the base of the tree and was just standing there looking up at it, and it's upside down, staring down, barking.
Now, does your dog chase? He chases squirrels.
He doesn't chase squirrels. He chases cats.
Okay, because my dog is such a... He's so dumb. He'll chase... Like, this is the really retarded thing, is that my dog, he will chase birds, which is stupid when you consider that, like, how many hundreds of times do you have to do that before you figure out that they can fly? Do you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't really speak highly of evolution right there, that the dog hasn't somehow figured out that those things just go straight up and there's really nowhere you're going to be able to go after
that. This is a game. I can get him now. All right. I've never heard of a... An attack.
All right, I swear to God, we're going to do like one more squirrel call, and then that's it. Don, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, tell Dennis, just because the size of the animal, like a wolverine will kill you in a flash. And
that's what I'm,
like the size of
that's what I'm saying. A weasel. You don't want to screw with a weasel.
Exactly.
Take your face right off, man.
But, also, just real quick, I think sometimes when they run towards you, it's because people feed them, and they think that you're going to give them some nuts. Because I've had that happen to me before, and they're just looking for nuts.
And if you won't give them the nuts, they'll just take your nuts.
They'll kill you. Exactly.
Yeah, all right. All right, there you go. Thank you, sir.
Right on.
All right, there you go.
So anyway.
They'll just take your nuts. Take them.
Before we end the squirrel thing, didn't someone send you audio of a barking squirrel?
Our good friend David. Is it Krause or Krause? I don't think you've ever heard him pronounce the name out loud.
I think it's Krause.
All right, because it's spelled the same way as, what's his name, Peter Krause. All right, this is, he purports... I really hope he's not screwing with this because I haven't previewed this. He claims that this is the sound of a squirrel chattering. All right, so I'm going to just see what this is here. Let's see. This Rick, this is the sound you are referring to, he says. So, anyway, and... That is kind of an unnerving sound.
Yeah, imagine
actually.
Like these little pointy rabies-filled fangs looking at you going, ah.
All right. Well, there you go. And so forth. Let's now...
AM 970. Solid Storm. Radio.
All right, let's talk about tonight, which is Rockstar Supernova. Now, it is 2:35, so we got a half an hour here. Should we give the spoiler announcement now? All right, so now, you are now entering an area of the Rick Emerson program in which there may be spoilers. Now, I don't know anything about tonight's show. I know one thing. I know one and a half spoilers. Sarah knows all of them, and she's actually, and we're gonna kind of move through them, because whenever we've abandoned any sort of, it's just a pretense that we're going to go into this sort of blind every week.
Would one of them be Delana getting hit by a loose track lighting that drops from the top of the stage?
Oh, please let it be so. Please, Heavenly Jesus, let it happen. Well, and here's the thing. I'm going down now, presuming that Storm does not get eliminated this week. Now, I'm going down this weekend, and I'm gonna be at Sunday's taping.
Oh.
So, which is cool. So come Monday, I'll have the full, the breakout of how everything happened. I'll be able to give you kind of the full scoop on that. So, all right. So we are now entering the spoiler zone for tonight's Rockstar Supernova. We are now down to, four? Is it five? How many people are left? Five. So it's Storm, Toby, Magni, Lucas, Delana. Here's what I know. I know that tonight, everybody does two songs tonight. Everybody performs one original and one cover. Now, the interesting thing about this is, and Sarah and I were talking about this yesterday, that everybody so far who's done an original has gotten booted off. Everybody, Patrice did an original, gone. Ryan did an original, gone. God, who else? There was somebody else that did an original.
Now, what the...
Wait, who did you say?
Who else? Patrice and Ryan did originals. Zaira did an original, gone. So that hadn't really worked out, but this week, everybody's doing one. Everybody does an original, everybody does a cover. All I know is that, and I know what Storm's original is, and Storm obviously sings Ladylike, and I only know that because, it was an easy gig, because that is correct, right? That's what she sings?
Yeah, Storm sings Ladylike.
So that, I only know that because she's been saying for the longest time on this show, she's like, as soon as I get a chance to do an original, I'm going to sing Ladylike. So everybody kind of knows that.
Well, what about now the other songs, the covers? Is that, again, a, I don't know, I guess you'd call it a lottery situation, or it's the barter deal like they have done before, or what exactly is
I don't know, because I didn't watch the reality episodes, but they will be playing them. David, actually, who we were just talking about, burned them for Dante's. How rad is that? So
really?
That way we can actually watch them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. So we'll be doing that tonight.
So I don't know, because I didn't see the webisode.
So you know, but you know what storm sinks tonight.
Yes.
All right, so here's the thing. So we are now going to do our weekly deduction of what storm large sinks. So it's really your last chance. If you don't want to know crap about tonight, you should tune out now. All right, so storms, the song that storm sinks tonight, her cover is, let's see, have we heard it before in this season? To the best of your knowledge.
I don't think so.
All right.
I think the artist has been...
Band or individual?
Individual.
Male or female?
Male. Has that been done?
No. I just read. I read the spoiler. It's a great song.
Alternative?
No. No. Well, like classic rock.
Classic rock. Classic rock male performer.
Might have been considered alternative rock at the time of recording.
At the time. And Dennis, since you know what it is, are we talking what decade? 70s?
Yes.
70s. Jesus. 70s male classic rock, perhaps alternative at the time.
Eye makeup.
Wait, oh, Bowie.
Yeah.
It's got to be both. Okay, and I'm not a boat.
Suffragette City.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's got to be badass.
Suffragette,
which is one of like four David Bowie songs that I know, is the one that everybody knows.
I can't believe right out of the gate you got that from just eye makeup.
There's nobody. I don't know, it's not Paul Stanley. I know it's not Kiss.
Well,
and it's not Alice Cooper, although that would have been cool. I knew Alice Cooper was an alternative. Suffragette City is fantastic. Let me just tell you this, by the way. I know someone, it's Joni DeRoshi. Joni DeRoshi's kid, her daughter Sydney did this rock and roll camp for girls thing or whatever, and everybody kind of knows how I feel about that, but the whole thing kind of climaxes with the kids doing a little concert where they sing and they do whatever, and it's, you know, it's kind of equal parts great and just weird and makes you feel old and whatever. But her daughter Sydney is up there with an electric guitar, which she actually plays fairly well, and her daughter singing Suffragette City, and I gotta tell you, man, there's something a little weird about a 9-year-old girl singing Wham Bam Thank You Ma'am. It's just all very, it just fills you with just such a bizarre mix of emotions. It's very strange. All right, so Storm sings Ladylike and Suffragette City. Do they do them back to back or do they alternate? Does anybody know? All right. Well,
I would think that they would do some sort of rotation. Right. I mean, you know, maybe all the originals and then all the covers.
All right. Well,
of course,
let's
have Delana last, and so she can, light off the cannons, and Dave Nirvana can pleasure himself on stage at the same time.
Why would you say that?
I just hate him. I didn't really.
Is it because he's a gigantic douche?
Well, that too.
That helps.
It's just that I didn't realize. I really thought that he was a purist of music. Remember, my music knowledge is nowhere near, like, say, a pop culture. I can never go head-to-head on pop culture with you.
Well, Dave Navarro comes from a slice of music I don't know that much about, though.
But what I'm saying is, just the bands he's been in, the skill level that he supposedly possesses, you'd think that his music knowledge will overcome his ability to be a douche. And yet it hasn't. And I didn't realize he was so commercial.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy just needs to put himself on a Kellogg's Frosted Flakes box.
That's the reason I dislike so much of the alternative music scene, especially in the 90s during the Lollapalooza era, because all of those guys were trying so hard to look as though they were not big commercial sellouts when, you know, they kind of are.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody sort of is. I mean, you can't sign to a major label and not be a commercial
sellout.
I'm just
waiting for, like, the Dave Navarro new phone from LG.
Well, totally. Well, that's basically what you're doing with the Verizon thing. That's Storm. And so then I watch my performance on VCast, you know.
Wrong brand.
No, it's completely pimping. So, all right, so I'll tell you what. Let's break. We'll come back. Tim will do... Okay, yeah, so let me play the Weekend Geek here. We'll break, come back, quick hit with Tim, and then we'll just quickly run through what everybody else sings. Because there's not much else to say. Because I don't really know...
Tomorrow's going to be...
You haven't had a chance to watch the webcast?
Tomorrow's the day.
No, but I'm going to watch it tonight.
Right. Oh, see, I usually get a lot of questions after I leave here of people that listen to the show because they think you guys fill me with, like, the secret information, and therefore I will have none to tell them.
No, we don't fill you.
No, not today. Honestly,
we fill you with a soft, creamy center.
Except for Storm, it's just frustrating to watch Delana in the webisodes. I'm kind of done with watching those.
She is fake beyond...
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back a few stories with Tim, and then we'll reveal the set list for tonight's Rockstar Supernova. Here's the Weekend Geek. Don't go anywhere.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents The Weekend Geek.
Greetings, programs. This is Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com. with the all sweet, sweet tears version of the week in Geek. Now I realize that since the creation of the digital format, my fellow geeks have been begging George Lucas for an original uncut version of the Holy Trilogy. And on September 12th, all your geeky dreams will come true. However, I'm telling you now, do not buy these DVDs. They are not the movies you're looking for. These are just direct transfers of the Japanese laser discs that came out almost 10 years ago. And if you want copies of those, just drop me a line at geekinthecity.com. I'll tell you how to get them. With fuel costs continuing to rise and the fact that every ship they send into space has a 50-50 chance of blowing up, NASA is once again looking into the option of a space elevator. In the coming weeks, NASA will be holding a contest in New Mexico to determine which company can develop the best space elevator. Oh, good evening, Mr. Tyler. Going to the moon? And Friday, September 8th at midnight at the Clinton Street Theater, the greatest film ever made about Crater Lake will be debuting for one night only. That's right, people. The Crater Lake Monster will be showing for one night only at midnight at the Clinton Street Theater. You can get more information at ClintonStreetTheater.com. I'm Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com reminding you to never trust George Lucas. He's kind of like that uncle that gets a little too gropey after one too many piña coladas. This has been The Week in Geek.
The Week in Geek. Only from The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of The Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Dennis Pitsenbauger for the Portland Tribune. In just moments, we'll reveal the set list for tonight's Rockstar Supernova, and we've got some inside observations as well, and we'll make our predictions about who goes home. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hit the city desk one final time with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A doctor survives 4 days on swamp water. A 62-year-old man who vanished during afternoon jog survived by drinking muddy water for 4 days after he became lost in the swamps of Florida.
That's, well, no, I don't even, that's not even the right sounder. God damn it.
Well, searcher Ron Egan heard a noise in the swamp Monday, so he yelled, "Hello?" The missing jogger answered, "Help, help, help, help." So the searcher rushed and found him in a swampy area. He was really muddy. The first thing he said, "Do you have a phone? I have to call my wife."
Okay, there you go.
Amsterdam. The tampon maniac has been arrested in a northern Dutch city. Police decided to detain the 40-year-old man after receiving 15 complaints about his behavior. He had been seen on numerous occasions rummaging through rubbish bags in search of...
Oh, that's so wrong!
Don't say it!
I'm not going to say it.
Say it!
Use tampons and say it.
Oh, my head, it burns.
No, my brain.
This is not the first time the man dubbed the tampon maniac by Dutch media has been arrested. He regularly collected his items.
His business.
But stopped after a good talk with police. So he took his strange hobby again about 6 months ago. It's not known how often he goes looking for these items. But the police spokesman says he is, quote, very active, unquote. Police plan to send him to professionals to investigate his extremely deviant behavior.
On that note, kids... Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for joining us.
There you go. Thank you. Tomorrow, the story of a woman gored in the groin. No, really, that's at the top of the pile. We'll get to that first thing tomorrow. And I believe it was by a wildebeest. We're here with Dennis Pitsenbauger.
Good Lord.
Good God.
That is, I mean, I've heard of some bad habits, but that's...
Seriously.
Whoa.
Okay. All right, well, we're talking about Rockstar Supernova. So tonight, Storm Large sings Ladylike, and then she sings Suffragette City. Do we want to go through the... get it out of my head either.
Look on Sarah's face. It's worth a million bucks.
Why?
No. And then,
what?
Are you asking why he did it or why we chose to read it?
No, well, both. I mean,
it's all about class, Sarah.
Thank God they didn't describe, like, what he did with them.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me imagine. Oh, yes.
That's bad.
Yeah. Well, some guys make macaroni paper plate art, you know, so. Okay, do we have a set list for what everybody does tonight?
Yes.
All right. Do you want to go through it? Why don't we go through that, and then I'll read this observation we have from, this is from Todd the Corpse. Who says that he's got a little, I don't know, he found this info somewhere about tonight.
Okay.
All right, so who performs what tonight?
Okay, so Toby sings Mr. Brightside, The Killers.
Oh, that's cool, okay.
Yeah. Lucas does Living on a Prayer.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Badass! You know why that's so smart? For he's going to crush it!
No,
I sound like Dave Navarro.
No, he doesn't crush it. That's what I guess he doesn't.
Oh,
I
really?
Guess he doesn't bring the rock. He, like, kind of slows it down a little. But I guess it's a good performance.
Oh, does he do that, like, unplugged? Whoa, we're halfway there, like the way they did in 98.
Yeah.
That's too bad, because I was going to say I hate to say this. It's an exciting new direction for him. It's you know, because
I can totally see him doing the...
Yeah, I was hoping he'd sort of, you know, take it in a different direction from what he's been doing. I thought that was a way to kind of change it up. That's too bad. It's too bad he doesn't do a good job.
Well, surely, you know, Toby will come out and play the guitar and steal his thunder.
Totally. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah, no, I guess, no, to correct you, he does do a good job.
Oh, really?
He
just doesn't do it the traditional way.
Yeah, because everyone was hoping that he'd bring it at the end.
You know, but... I don't know. You screw with a classic at your peril. Sometimes it's good, like with the Nirvana thing. Sometimes not so good.
Uh-huh. All right. Magni does Back in the USSR.
Oh, that's badass.
Yeah. Well,
I love that song.
And Delana does Behind Blue Eyes.
No! Oh!
And she didn't even know the song.
Ah, I hate her so much. Oh, I hate her. Oh, how could you not know that song? I know you're from another continent.
And all of her little super fans are like, oh, how perfect is it for her to be singing that song?
Because she's tortured. You see, it's because
no one knows what it's like to be the bad man.
Nobody knows what it's like to be a tormented artist. God, shut your hole. Oh, man, die in a fire. Seriously.
Where's the footage of her at, like,
the
state fair?
Die screaming covered in your own blood. God damn.
And Delana's original song is called Super Soul.
Yeah, okay. There's a joke there, but I'm not even going to bother.
Nirvana song
she doesn't
with new
know
words.
Behind Blue Eyes.
So I haven't seen the episode on the internet, but so the rumor mill goes.
You know,
and she came
really...
with this ridiculous arrangement that she was going
to... Sorry. Literally jumping up and down out of frustration here. I'm sorry, ridiculous arrangement that she's wearing?
No,
arrangement of
the song.
Oh, you know the worst part about that? Here's the very
worst
part. She's
going to get sympathy points.
Not only that, Cyrodiil, the very worst part of this whole thing...
Are you okay?
No, here's the thing about that. I'm not a big Who fan. But
I love that song.
Okay, but I was going to say, I'm not a big fan of The Who, but I love that song. I mean, I've thought this before. The Who are great, you know, and I'm just not a very big fan. They're good at what they do. Pete Townshend's a good songwriter. I love that song, though. There's a handful of Who songs, like Baba O'Reilly, or Love Rain Over Me, that's another one. But Behind Blue Eyes, I love that song. It's a classic. I mean, it is, as the classic rock dudes say, it's a stone classic. And the worst part is that A, she's going to suck, and B... Even without having heard a note, I can already hear it in my head. That's the worst part.
I can, too, with her gravelly voice. And she's going to be starting... And she's going to be swaying back and forth, looking at the camera.
An idiot goddamn Dave Navarro is going to be... You gave me chills. That's
Do you want to know one of the things about Storm's performance?
Yes.
I guess she plays with Dave Navarro.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
On which one?
And
on Ladylike or on Suffragette City?
I think on Suffragette City.
Oh, that's cool.
And I guess he says it's, you know, I played with some of the best lead singers in the world, and it felt just like that. So he gives her
right
a big
on.
Compliment.
Right on.
It was awesome.
You crushed it.
So maybe this week we'll start liking him.
Sorry, that's out for me.
She continually says that he's a good guy, but who knows? She says the same thing about Delana. This is from Todd the Corpse.
Come on.
Rick. Each performer does back-to-back performances, starting with the cover and with the original. Part of this week's challenge is to see how they... And what have we constantly been saying Storm's Achilles heel has been? That we don't get to... They don't get to... she hasn't been able to play to the crowd, which is really one of her strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, if only... It's that stupid. If only you could see her live. We're always lamenting. Jen Lane, first week, was bitching that Storm wasn't given a chance really to work the crowd, which is where she signs. Todd says, part of this week's challenge is to see how they handle the crowd in between songs.
Awesome.
Oh, it gets even better. Apparently, Delana blows it! Yeah! Because there were lighting problems, and she just sits there. The band then taunts her for not working the crowd. And finally, Storm has to prompt her to do something by shouting, "Sing something, Mama!" And then Delana does. From the spoilers, Storm worked the crowd like they were her bitch between songs, although the cheering was so loud for her, she didn't really have to do much.
Really?
Oh, it's giving me little shivers.
It gave me a little chill. Oh. Now, see, in one fell swoop, it's changed from me not liking Delana, just kind of feeling sorry.
Oh, no, I still hate her. No, I hate her. No, wait, wait. Yeah, I hate her. Let's see. Our good friend Brad, the car guy. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. So. Yeah, I did this, you know, I'm such a freaking loser that my new wife says, you're coming up to bed on Sunday night, it, you know, not like, are you coming to bed? Yeah. And, of course, I said, oh, I'll be right there. And 2 hours later, after reading all the spoilers, Jesus, please. So.
Yeah, no, it's I have to kind of keep myself away sometimes because I know that I'll just get sucked in, yeah.
No, but as for my prediction from last week, they are setting Delana up, the editing and everything else, and the songwriting thing. They love, Dilby loves Storm, hates Delana, and makes a comment at one point, if you can't bring something, then what are you here for?
Oh, really?
That's awful.
Oh, no, that's you're wrong. When you say awful, you mean fantastic.
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah. And as I said last week, you know, when she gets cut on tomorrow evening,
yeah.
I'm going to make my morning tea from her sweet, sweet tears.
Oh, it's fantastic.
No, she has another meltdown. Oh, and she pulls a muscle at some point. I'm not sure, you know, trying to pat herself on the back or something, and they have to carry her on the stage.
Oh, really? Are you serious? God.
Absolutely.
Hey, just yes. In honor of that, who wants to hear a little preview of tomorrow's Delana wrap-up contest?
Me, the Delana contest.
Don't forget, kids, you have one day left. Tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. is the cutoff point to get your submission in for the Delana Sweet Sweet Tears Equal Your Material Gain contest. And you go to rickemerson.com. I've deliberately not updated the blog in a couple days because I want to leave the instructions up there. You got to create an audio composition of no more than 60 seconds in length using the sound of Delana, quote, crying, and it is posted up there. Email it to us, and then, I don't know, the winner will get something. We'll figure something out. We'll find something in one of the closets and give it to you. But this is... We'll play them all tomorrow throughout the show, and then we'll figure out. We'll let y'all vote on them. We'll figure out the winner. This is yet another submission in the Delana sound contest. Go ahead and I'll roll this one here.
Stick 'em, ha ha ha! Stick 'em, stick 'em, ha ha ha! Stick 'em, stick 'em, ha ha ha! Stick 'em.
There you go. That's fantastic. That's what I'm talking about.
One more?
I don't think I have another one.
That was so fabulous. Who did that? Can you say that?
No, I don't want to reveal who did any of them because I don't want to.
That was brilliant.
Because some of them are from listeners who are maybe a little known, you know, listeners who are sort of, you know, that have attained a certain status on the show. Some of them are from people who have not, some of them people we haven't ever heard from before. I don't want to prejudice anybody, tilt the scale one way or another. But that's, so there you go. So that's yet another entry. Let's see.
That was brilliant, though.
All right. Thank you, Brad.
See you tonight.
All right. There you go. That's Brad, the car guy. All right. Predictions based on who sings what, the general tenor, who gets voted. All things being equal, who gets voted off?
Two go home?
I don't know.
Five men enter, two men leave.
Did we hear the two go off?
Mm-mm.
I mean, how are they going to do
that's
the finale?
We were kind of assuming.
I
mean,
who was it that told me someone, and it wasn't somebody here, it was when I was gone, so maybe it was Laura. Somebody told me that they read that the finale is four, which means that one goes home tonight, and there's four next week. That's what somebody told me. So I forget who it was, but it wasn't anybody here, so maybe it was just gibberish. But assuming one goes home tonight, thoughts on who it's going to be? I got my own thought.
I'm still thinking it's Magni, because everyone's so stoked, because there's a huge fan base for Toby, Storm, Lucas, and Delana. I would be pleasantly surprised if they did send Delana home, though.
All right. And so you think it's Magni because... Well, see, the thing about Magni is, presuming the voting means anything at all, you got to figure he's got a whole country voting for him. Mm-hmm. Although I guess the others do, too, because we deduced that Storm is the only American left.
Well, I think Magni's really good, but I just don't think he's right for them. I think that's kind
he's
of
a little
become,
bland.
Yeah, I think that's become apparent that they want a little more pizzazz for a lead singer.
He does not have a lot of pizzazz. Mm-hmm. In a weird way, he's totally perfect when he sings that live song.
Yeah, he was wonderful at that, and he's a great singer, but I just don't see him for the
that band. Guy, Ed Kowalczyk, is not very charismatic. Good singer, not very charismatic. So, all right. Dennis?
I have to somewhat agree with you, but I think that based on voting the way it was last week, I think Magny will get the pass. I think, honestly,
he's never been in the bottom three.
Yeah, and I also think, unfortunately, I really think Lucas, because I don't, personally, he hasn't really brought it for me lately. And kicked it, awesome, whatever, crushed it. I also think that if he's going to try to rewrite Bon Jovi songs and try to do them to a different tempo, he is going to basically write himself right off the show.
Well, okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. For me, I'm saying it's going to be Toby. The Steve Irwin thing notwithstanding. I think it's going to be Toby because... Or Magny, but I think Toby, just because I think Toby, two things. And again, I look at it from, like, the TV perspective. Storm is interesting because she's got an amazing voice. They all can sing. But Storm is also funny. She's sassy. She gives it back to them. You know, she puts it in their face. She's a 6-foot-tall, hot blonde girl. You know, so she works on TV in a lot of ways. Delana is too freaky. She's like Zaira at this point. They have to keep her, I think, because she's too freaky. Lucas, they got to keep because he's great, and he's got like an anti-hero thing going on. He's sort of a cool villain kind of guy. They got to keep him. Which leaves Magny and Toby. I think Toby is just not very interesting to me. I think he's a little bland. But what seals it, what seals Toby's fate, in my opinion, is the fact that he brings the chicks up on stage and takes off his shirt, and I think it just looks a little gimmicky. Which maybe means, maybe that's wrong. Maybe they'll keep him because of that.
Hasn't that been their problem with him the entire time? Was he the one with the bullhorn?
Yeah, and the flag.
And the flag, yeah. And then he had the bongos.
And they told him every time he's done it to stop
quit
doing
being a prop comic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then taking off the shirt and the girls. Yeah.
See. Well, you're right. Maybe they'll keep him because he's gimmicky.
Well, I, you
know, reading, chicks dig him.
Yeah, well, reading about the spoilers, I guess he does a really good job tonight.
Yeah. Really?
If he sticks to singing, it could be a lot better for his cause. But I think, if he pulls out another set of bongo drums or something like that, it could be,
I think,
fate.
Do you feel like Magny, in a weird way, has this unspoken underdog thing? Because he's so much older, and he's from Australia, or from Iceland, and so he's like this kind of, you know, he seems like the most of an outsider. Just because it's like Australia and Iceland. Iceland, attitudinally, it just seems like this whole weird, removed place.
Well, yeah, and they've kind of painted him as family man, and like all the rest of them are these wild, you know, crazy party kids.
Yeah.
That could be a lot of it. I mean, there could be a lot of...
That's what I'm thinking. Even with Delana at that media clinic, when she was saying, well, Magny just wants to be with her, you know, with his wife and his kid, she was saying that to get that in their minds, and maybe that's still in their heads.
Yeah. All right. Let me see. Let me find the...
Can't we just all agree that we'd rather have Delana go off?
It's true.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's welcome now...
The postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, mailman Chris, our stenographer. How are you, sir?
Oh, a little behind here today.
Yeah, get in line, my friend.
Well, I gotta say, I think it is going to be Magny. In the bottom three, I think he's going to be the one that goes.
For the same reason?
For the same reason. And to counter what Dennis said about being Lucas, after that, there's no question they are all about Lucas.
After tonight, there's no question?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Read the rest of those spoilers. Tommy is all about Lucas.
So you think that Magny will go out tonight, and then after that, there's after tonight, there's only one left.
Right.
And then the four will become one, and that one is Lucas.
I think so.
We should, okay, well, and I should say right now, if we had to go on the line right now, who do you think is going to win it all? Chris, you're saying Lucas.
I believe Lucas.
Dennis?
I hate to say it, but fit with the band, Toby. I think he's...
Really?
That's
what a lot of people are saying.
I think that he fits the band because I think Tommy and him with the girls, blah, blah, blah.
All right. Okay. I say Lucas, but we'll see. All right. Chris, quickly, where are we at?
How many pushes does he have?
You got Jim Roop. You got the Delana. You got Lisa Goddard. You got the post-hitting contest. You did not get the clown watch. You did not get the penis watch. You put you at 39.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you tonight.
All right, there you go. There's mailman Chris. Dennis Pitzenbarger, you're in the Portland Tribune?
Yes, I am.
All right, and...
Do we ever talk about cars anymore?
No.
Just go on then.
What are you going to do? We want to thank Jim Roop. We want to thank Lisa Goddard, Gary
Baumgartner. What am
Baumgartner,
I doing here?
Dennis Pitzenbarger, mailman Chris, etc., and Peter Carlin. Rick Emerson show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah Stillen for AM970 Solid State Radio. News director Tim Riley, Scotty J. More than an intern and manager of the Rick Emerson Office East, Dave Zinn. See you tonight at Dante's. Be there around 8:30 or so to try to grab yourself some floor space for Rockstar Supernova. And we'll be here tomorrow for Rockstar Recap. Like us next. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye. Ha ha ha.
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and trash.